Making After School Cool.
Welcome to the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those who are interested in the activities youth are involved with during non-school hours. The Making After School Cool podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education. And I'm your host, Mike Wilson. This episode of the Making After School Cool podcast is part one of a two-part series focusing on the benefits of managing youth urban debate leagues. Becoming a debater is not a required subject for secondary students to graduate, and in most cases, it is not as attention-getting or naturally appealing as other more popular extracurricular activities. However, the skills learned while participating in debate can create lifelong benefits for youth in their personal and academic life. According to an article written by the American Debate League, students who participate in debate improve oral and written communication skills, critical thinking skills, they learn effective tools for research, organization, and presentation, and additionally, they learn strategies to overcome fears of public speaking and gain the confidence and desire to participate in more rigorous academic classes. These skills are extremely important for academic success and college readiness of first-generation low-income urban students. So to speak on the difficulties and the success of managing a debate league during a school year filled with COVID-19 restrictions are my guests, Mark Niles, Director of the Houston Urban Debate League, and John Rosenfoss, Deputy Director of the Houston Debate League. Mark and John, how are y'all today?
Hi, my name is Mark Niles. I currently work as the Director of the Houston Urban Debate League, and I'm excited to answer some questions and chat with y'all today.
Hi, my name is John Rosenfoss. I'm the Deputy League Director for the Houston Urban Debate League, and I'm also excited to be here today.
Great. Okay, our first question is, how did you first get involved with debating?
So debate was something that I think I learned about in high school, although I didn't very much engage with it there. My first deep engagement with debate actually happened when I started working for the Houston Urban Debate League as a program manager, and all those things I saw my friends doing in high school, I was like, wow, I should have done this in high school. It's such an amazing thing. But it's been a great ride the last few years doing this.
My first encounter with debate was actually all the way back in middle school. I attended Lanier Middle School and had the privilege of attending a short class with the legendary Jim Henley, who was very well known around these parts. A great coach and an awesome teacher, but that was the start and end of it for a while. And then maybe sometime around 2016, Mark came over to the school where I was working and gave a presentation with his partner at the time about, you know, the power of debate and why debate was such an important force in kids' lives. And I just got so caught up, I volunteered to be the coach, not knowing anything about it, but knowing that it was something that was impactful. And I had the most amazing time coaching. I mean, it deepened my teaching. It gave me further investment in the students, and it just made me a more mature adult, and it helped me really come into my own as a confident person. And it's something that, had I not gone to that lunchtime meeting, I don't know where my life would be right now. But yeah, that's how I got involved. And now I'm the deputy director of the league. So it's done wonders for me.
In your opinion, what are some of the benefits for students to get involved in debate?
You could talk all day about the benefits of debate, but I think I'll try to organize this in two categories: academic benefits, social benefits. As far as academic benefits are concerned, debate increases matriculation for college. It helps attendance at schools. Test grades go up. But I also think the social benefits are incredibly important. Lots of the students that get involved in debate have to learn how to work on a team of lots of peers, both at their school and at other schools. So it teaches a lot of those skills that people that don't do debate in high school don't get access to. You'll see a lot of debaters and compare them to non-debaters of similar ages, and their leaps and bounds beyond in terms of social and soft skills like public speaking.
Yeah, and I want to echo Mark's sentiments. When I was a teacher and as a coach, one of the things I noticed right away was that my kids in class were performing better and more confidently, because in comparison to a debate tournament, everything else seemed rather easy. And one of my favorite moments of all time was the moment when it was after school, was during a meeting, and I was busy with something else. I didn't have time to really run the meeting, and the kids just took over, and they broke down. There was a new topic in LD, and they broke it down and started mapping out all the different areas of the topic on their own and having conversations about who was going to do the research on what topic and what was the best strategy to approach the issue. And I just thought, man, these kids have learned some serious organizational skills and some serious interpersonal skills that I couldn't have possibly taught them without having to learn to work together as a team and having to spend, you know, the hours that it takes to prepare your case and get ready for it. And I think, you know, more than anything else, the fact that they have a safe space to become informed about current events in a way that is approachable and manageable, and then requires them to know it well enough, get up there and argue about it. There's nothing comparable in a classroom today. It's one of the best possible academic activities you could do, because embedded within it is also the social aspect of it as well. It's something that requires engagement with other people's ideas and thinkings and perspectives, and that's why it's something that it is absolutely essential.
With your experience with debate, do you have a favorite form of debate, and if so, why?
Personally, I think all formats are great, but one of the things about debate that is really cool is that if you're a student and you're trying to get into debate, you have all these choices, and each debate format is a little bit different. So one type of student may gravitate towards a certain format, another may gravitate towards a different format. Me personally, my favorite format of debate is World Schools debate. It has large teams of 3 to 5, and the topics you are given them oftentimes right before the debate happens, and I just think it's a super engaging, interesting form of debate. And if I was given the choice to go jump into a debate format, World Schools would definitely be my format of choice.
My favorite format is still the very first format I ever coached, which is Lincoln Douglas. Lincoln Douglas is my favorite to both coach and watch. Because everything falls on your shoulders. You can't have any weaknesses in your abilities. You have to be able to speak constructive speech well, and you have to be really good at rebuttals, and you have to be really good at CX, and you have to keep all of that together for 45 minutes. And it's just the most densely packed form of debate. I think you have the least amount of time to make the most complicated style of point. It's also very driven by philosophy, which, of course, I'm into big ideas. I'm always thinking about the why of everything and the root of everything, which is essential to a Lincoln Douglas argument. It's something that when you look at a Lincoln Douglas issue in a Lincoln Douglas format, it's about the philosophy, the why, the how should we look at these big picture questions that are really, and then distilling that down into a 45-minute debate is exhilarating to me. And I will take time during tournaments to stop and watch an LD round if I know both of the debaters are good, because I know every second of that is going to be just on the edge of my seat. What's going to happen next? What are they going to do next? What are they going to say? I love it, and I can't get enough of it.
I know the last few years, our collaboration, Case for Kids, Debate, and Huddle, the number of students and number of teams that have been participating have increased. What are some of the difficulties concerning working with debate teams and setting up tournaments?
Yeah, I think we mainly had two areas of difficulties this year. The first being, how do you recruit students in a virtual environment? In a typical year, the debate coach can kind of, during their normal day at school, pick up kids to their classes or, you know, just walk through the halls or at lunch, find students that may be interested and talk debate up to them. That just wasn't an option this year for many coaches. So I think that was one of our large obstacles this year, was recruitment. The second main obstacle was just figuring out how to do what we do in person online. So it's like, what technology platform would work best for us? How are we going to get our students and coaches up to speed on a new technology platform? And both were difficult, but I think we did the best with what was thrown at us, and we put a pretty good year on.
And I think, you know, part of those difficulties were, you know, they were, sometimes they were fun for challenges to solve, and other times, quite honestly, it was just very nerve-wracking, because you want to, you know, when all of this is on your shoulders and you want to provide a good product because you know that it's necessary and you know that you need to find some way to continue on with an engaging activity that also is mindful of the challenges of a digital virtual environment, not even to mention the conditions of the world being inescapable. I mean, even in a normal year, we deal with students who have lots of challenges and obstacles, but this year especially was rough. But I think I'm really proud of what we were able to put together this year, because we didn't even know what program we were going to use 2 or 3 weeks before the tournament, our very first tournament of the year. I mean, we had a world of possibility in front of us, and just being quite honest, some of it just there was a moment where I thought, I don't know what we're going to do this year. I don't know how this is going to work. This is my first year on the job even, and I'm like, well, this is already an insurmountable problem, my first year. So, it was difficult sometimes getting buy-in from a lot of debaters who thought they were already exhausted with online classes, and they were already exhausted with everything being on a screen and requiring a lot of extra coordination and having to learn new programs and every single, all the things that they used to do so easily now required a whole new way of knowing. But it offered us an opportunity to sit back and reconsider, like, what does it take to build a good season? And we learned a few lessons this year that we're taking into next year. And I think we're going to have to reimagine everything again next year, because we're going to be trending back toward in person. But I'm glad that we have that, to some extent, I'm glad that we had a year like this. Not that I would have ever really wanted to go through this, but a silver lining is that it forces us to reconsider some of the things that we've always done. And there's some things that are going to be better after this. And there's some things we're really excited to have back. Like, we're just excited to see all the kids again and be in that atmosphere. And that was another big difficulty for me. It was like, I really missed the energy and atmosphere of the tournament. There's no replication for it. I mean, you can have an online tournament rather easily. The activity itself survives and doesn't need to be changed. But, there's nothing to replace that feeling of there's another person in the room with you. There's a real human being across the hall. And you have to speak to them, and then you have to stop talking, listen to them, and really listen to them and answer them. And the whole time, you're having to do this in real time without any mediation. It's just going. And I think we want to get back to that when it's safe, and we really are missing that, but we'll get there.
And I think you've answered this, but during the 2021 season, despite all the obstacles, you still were able to accomplish the season. Is there any one particular thing that stands out?
I was just very proud when looking at our program and comparing it to other programs within the district. I think our transition and our ability to offer our full spectrum during the year, not just the limited amount of our programming, but the same amount of programming we usually would offer. That's what made me feel like we're doing a good job, that we didn't have to really cancel any events. We provided the same thing we usually provide, although we just transitioned it over into a virtual atmosphere rather than in person. So that's I think the real icing on the cake for us this year.
Another thing that I'm really proud of is our ability to collaborate across the state, across between Huddle and Case. There was a lot more ability for us to communicate and work together, especially with our combined winter tournament, which came together really wonderfully in December. And then again in March, when we worked together on our city championships, it was just a breeze to do because, we're coordinating across the internet. And so, whereas in the past, we would have to coordinate the logistics of transporting people from all over the Harris County area into one location, now we only have to worry about making sure everyone understands a certain platform. I'm also, that said, we didn't just collaborate with Case. We were able to collaborate a lot more closely with our national organization, Noddle, in an event called iResolve, which was a public forum that offered our students an opportunity to talk about a current issue and really work closely with national level organizers, experts in the field. We were able to get some very high profile guests to come give the students direct feedback, and at the end of it they left with some really valuable experiences and things that they'll be talking about for years. Like they met Sheriff Ed Gonzalez, they met HSC Board Trustee Elizabeth Santos, they met Oh gosh, I don't even remember all the great people on the panel.
We had someone from the mayor's office.
We did have Bill Kelly from the mayor's office. That's the kind of opportunity I'm really proud that we were able to offer to our students. And, you know, all of those people are able to easily come on to our events because it didn't require them to take off any extra time. They could just come and, you know, they only needed to be there for the duration of the event. And if they had to leave early, well, they do their part. They sneak out and, you know, they're able to contribute something without really disrupting their lives. And I hope that we're able to continue working with this in some regard next year.
And that's a great segue to my next question. It seems like weekly, daily, monthly things change, deal with the virus, deal with the political climate, and so on. What are your hopes for the future regarding debate? You know, doing virtual, doing in person, sort of giving you some experience on, hey, we could expand this a little bit more than what we've done in the past. So, you know, thinking about the future, thinking about maybe adding more programs, getting more speakers. What are your thoughts for the future regarding debate programs?
Yeah, I think two things that John said kind of sums up my view perfectly of like how I want to see this go in the future. One is that we're missing that in-person aspect. Seeing the kids in front of you when you're giving the awards out and seeing their faces light up when you recognize them. So that part, but also not losing the accessibility that the online tournaments have provided. So not only have our kids been able to come to our tournaments locally, but the world has really opened up for them for national tournaments and international tournaments online that in a normal time they would have to be buying a plane ticket and booking hotel rooms. So I think if we can combine getting that in-person feeling back plus also making things more accessible through virtual technologies, then we'll be in a very good place and a better place going forward.
Yeah. I have to agree, and I think one of my major hopes for the future is that we can look back at this year and offer it as proof that we are resilient and we are an activity that is necessary, especially now, because, you know, student voice is so precious, and it's the most important resource we have, because that's essentially why we're here. We're here to develop student voice. And I don't care what kind of area of education you're in, your primary goal is student improvement. And you know, we were able to foster we were able to foster an atmosphere of respect and competitiveness throughout all these challenges. And during a tournament, you know, the debate was every bit as intense and good as it would have been in person. And I think hopefully we're able to look back at this and show some other people next year who are looking to get into debate, who are interested in it, that this is an activity that is meaningful and necessary, and it is a worthwhile enterprise to get into. And I hope that helps us grow. And we have some schools that fell out this year that we want to bring back into the fold. We had some campuses that, like Mark said earlier, in the recruitment this year, we couldn't expect anybody to be able to recruit like they used to, because it was just impossible. It wasn't even safe to do so. So I hope we're able to use our momentum this year and bring it over to schools that were out of the fold and bring them back in and say, you know, I understand that last year things were very difficult and you weren't able to make it work. What can we do this year to help get through that? What lessons have we learned from this year to bring into so we can recruit our old schools back and then get new schools in? Because there are schools all over the city and there are students all over the city that would benefit from this. And the nice thing that I love about debate, and that's something I thought about a lot when I was a coach, is that it doesn't matter what kind of person you are. I mean, you can be skinny, you can be fat, you can be big or small, or, you know, you can be a girl or a boy, or you could be non-binary. It doesn't matter. Like the focus of the activity is on the mind and developing the mind and becoming a more astute thinker and becoming a more scrupulous thinker through, you know, the kind of processes that we all need. Like inherently, when you come across an idea or you come across a proposition, you need to investigate the source. You need to see what the bias is. You need to examine it from more perspectives than just your own. And I think what's great about this activity is, more so than anything else I've ever seen, debate forces you out of yourself and it forces you out of your narrow conception and perception of the world. And one of the things I love about Houston is that and it's often touted, but it's like our diversity is so great. It's so great when it comes to our circuit, because we've got kids from all over the world and from all sorts of different circumstances, and they all have something important to say. And I think it's so critical that in your teenage years to encounter all those different ideas, so that you don't think that the world is just one type of place, or there's just one right way to look at a situation, or one right way to go through the world. Like, you understand that not everything is relative, but some things are more complicated than you thought they were. And I think that's an important lesson to learn as you're coming up in the world and you're trying to grapple with, you know, going through puberty, you're trying to grapple with things that you thought were simple, and you're realizing the depth and complexity. And like, you realize that once you get into adulthood, things just get more complex and more out of control. And nothing is as hard and fast and as black or white as you thought it was when you were growing up. But I think that we will be able to use next year as a momentum builder, as a growth year, to get more kids involved in this activity, to bring on more schools, and then the benefits of debate will just come. I mean, the nice thing about debate is you don't have to win to be good, to get benefits from it. And I used to always tell that to my kids, like, I don't care what happens at the end of those 45 minutes. I don't care. We're going to go home. I'm going to be just as tired if you win as if you lose. We're all going to be sick of each other at the end of the day. We're all going to be so full. I'm going to be so full of coffee and junk food, just like you, that we're all just going to want to be away from each other. But I know that throughout this day, we became better. And no matter what happens, this is the thing I always tell my kids first and during the first round. Win or lose, I don't care. You're going in that room. And you're not coming out until you're done. And just going into that room and having to have those conversations and having to go through that kind of argument, I think, makes our students better, and it makes them truly citizens of the world, which is what we want.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I wouldn't say ironic, but it's definitely timely with, you know, the current events with traditional or non-traditional news media. Everybody have their own opinions in regards to a particular event. And I think teaching kids these types of skills now become a life skill. So you can filter out with quote unquote fake news versus what is factual, and how you can develop your own opinions and your own thoughts that are not just based on opinions, but based on, you know, things that they have given some research to and have given some thoughts. So the benefits of debate has, within the last couple of years, have increased exponentially just because of the way society has changed lately. And so I think the more kids that can get involved in this type of structure and this type of skill, it will definitely help them as they move on to adulthood. Are there any other comments, thank yous, shout outs that you'd like to end this interview with?
I guess the only other thought I had, I just want to tell anyone who's listening to this, if you have a chance to volunteer or go see a local debate tournament in your area, please go and support that program. When you see what the students are doing in debate, you'll be blown away. You'll walk into one of these debate rounds and you'll see students talking about things that most adults can't talk about in like a mature manner. So debate is really preparing these kids to be global citizens. And I really can't think of any activity that provides this type of discourse for students. And if you haven't seen debate yourself, go out there and volunteer at a tournament. You'll have a good time.
Yeah, and I have to agree with Mark. I mean, one of the things that always irks me about people, and older people, younger people, people like me, is as adults, we have this mindset that, oh, these kids are so bad. Oh, they're not like they used to be. Like, there's a fallacy where we think that somehow the generations that come after us are somehow inferior to us. And I've never bought into that. I didn't like it when people treated me like that. And I certainly don't want to treat anyone younger than me like that. But watching debate gives me hope for the future. Mm-hmm. And it always has, because I know that resting on their shoulders, they're learning right now. The children are learning about these issues right now. And they're learning to speak up for themselves and learning, like you said, the life skills that they need to combat this strange new environment that we live in. I mean, you know, for all that gets dumped on younger generations, we create the world that they inhabit and grow up in and react to and respond to. So I think debate is one of the ways that we can combat misinformation or, you know, those kinds of generational prejudices that we have. And And quite honestly, I think some of the best, most instructive moments of my career have just been sitting there watching my students debate and thinking about, well, how did I coach this? How did I approach this? Watching them sort of react to my coaching in a room made me rethink how I approach things, and it made me a different coach, and it helped me reconsider like how I treat people who are younger than me or different than me or didn't come from the same kind of background that I have. And I think that's something that I wouldn't, you know, for all the long hours I've worked and all the long bus rides in the early mornings and the long days, I wouldn't trade any of it because I know that it was worthwhile. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to engage with this activity. And I want to thank the nonprofit board of directors that supports all this and whose vision created this space in Houston for students to come do this for free, because they believe so strongly in the activity that they don't think anyone should be kept from it. Because it is something everybody needs these skills. It doesn't matter what your quote unquote intellectual ability is. Everyone needs to be able to vet information. Everyone needs to be able to stand up and speak their truth and hold their line and have the self-confidence to advocate for themselves. I think that's a human right. More so than anything, I think we train our kids to become really good versions of themselves, but also very confident, vocal people, which is important.
Making after school cool.
Thank you for joining us for the first part of a two-part series focusing on the benefits of managing youth urban debate leagues. I want to thank my guests, Nick Niles, Director of the Houston Urban Debate League, and John Rosenfoss, Deputy Director of Houston Debate League. Thank you for joining us for the first part of a two-part series focusing on the benefits of managing youth urban debate leagues. I want to thank my guests, Mark Niles, Director of the Houston Urban Debate League, and John Rosenfoss, Deputy Director of the Houston Urban Debate League. Please join us for future episodes as we continue to explore issues relevant to the needs of the out-of-school time field.